Hey everyone, this is Deidre, and I'm filling in for Corinne this week. She is having a blast in the A Course in Miracles conference happening in New York City. So she asked me to cover for the week, and I'm very happy to be with you all. Tonight we are going to be reading from the Sparkle edition at page 317, and the paragraph is beginning with, "When you teach anyone the truth is true." In the original edition, it's chapter 13, paragraph 60, and in the FIP edition, it's page 273, chapter 14, part 2, paragraph 5. So, without further ado, let's just get going here, just give me a second. "When you teach anyone that truth is true, you learn it with him. And so you learn that what seemed hardest was the easiest. Learn to be happy learners. You will never learn how to make nothing everything, yet see that this has been your goal and recognize how foolish it has been. Be glad it is undone, for when you look at it in simple honesty, it is undone. We said before, be not content with nothing, for you have believed that nothing could content you. It is not so. If you would be a happy learner, you must give everything that you learned over to Holy Spirit to be unlearned for you. And then begin to learn the joyous lessons that come quickly on the firm foundation that truth is true. For what is builded there is true and built on truth. The universe of learning will open up before you in all its gracious simplicity. With truth before you, you will not look back. The happy learner meets the conditions of learning here, as he also meets the conditions of knowledge in the kingdom. All this lies on the Holy Spirit's plan to free you from the past and open up the way to freedom for you. For truth is true. What else could there ever be or ever was? This simple lesson holds the key to the dark door which you believe is locked forever. You made the door of nothing, and behind it is nothing. The key is only the light which shines away the shapes and forms and fears of nothing. Accept this key to freedom from the hands of Christ, who gives it to you, that you may join him in the holy task of bringing light into darkness. For like your brothers, you do not realize the light has come and freed you from the sleep of darkness." And I'll pause there for a minute. So does anything come up from anybody there before I say anything? I really like this one line in the first paragraph that we talked about, and it says, "What seems the hardest is actually the easiest." So for me brings up that sometimes it can be real, it can feel really hard to give things over to Spirit, like really surrender them. But then once you do, you find out how much easier everything goes. That's what came forward for me. And then just the idea that the truth is always true, and it reminds me of the lesson from the course that really struck me a few days ago, and it was, I think it was lesson 107, and it was basically talking about, you know, truth shines away all error in our mind, and so the truth is always true, and whenever we're feeling any sort of discomfort or pain, it means we're temporarily misaligned with something that's not true. And so that lesson the other day just really helped me become grounded again in the truth, and just I was able to let go of whatever craziness the small mind was having me go down, and just I was completely realigned again. So that is what came forward for me. Does anybody else have anything to share?
Well, you know, I'm looking at this idea of the happy learner. Now, I missed the call last week, and I don't know if there was much, you know, discussion about that. But to me, it's almost like the attitude that you have, and it's the hardest thing, you know, like looking at things that are difficult and making the transition to, you know, the hardest thing can be the easiest,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's the attitude, because the knowledge and the skill that you need, lately I don't seem to have any issue with that. I mean, not that I'm nowhere near perfect, for sure, but the attitude seems to be the hardest thing. You know, when you look at different things you have to do and obligations you have, and the idea that the most difficult can become the easiest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that to me, everything is the attitude. So that's what comes up for me.
Yeah, I love that, because it brings back again, you know, we always have a choice. And so it's just that willingness to recognize when things feel funky and they feel off. And then you're right, Brian, it's like, you know, it's our attitude, our willingness to choose again, that really is the key.
Yeah, and lately I feel that. And it's remembering to call, you know, for the Holy Spirit. From what I've learned on the calls is that he's always there, but you need to, I'm trying to think of the word, it's like to validate it or to recognize it or to make it real. It's like saying amen, you know. It's like, make this real. If you're there, speak up, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love what you said. Thank you, Brian.
Sure.
Anybody else have anything that came up? I'm going to keep reading then. Behold your brothers in their freedom, and learn of them how to be free of darkness. The light in you will awaken them, and they will leave you asleep. The vision of Christ is given the very instant that it is perceived, where everything is clear and it is all holy. Quietness of its simplicity is so compelling that you will realize it is impossible to deny the simple truth, for there is nothing else. God is everywhere, and his Son is in him with everything. Can he sing but the dinge of sorrow when this is true? So the next heading is called The Decision for Guiltlessness. Learning will be commiserate with motivation and with the interference of your motivation for learning is exactly the same as that which interferes with all your thinking. The happy learner cannot feel guilty about learning. This is so essential to learning that it should never be forgotten. The guiltless learner learns so easily because his thoughts are free. Yet this entails the recognition that guilt is interference, not salvation, and serves no useful function at all. You are accustomed to using guiltlessness merely to offer the pain of guilt and do not look upon it as having value in itself. You believe that guilt and guiltlessness are both of value, each representing an escape from what the other does not offer you. You do not want either alone or without both. You do not see yourselves as whole and therefore happy, yet you are not whole only in your guiltlessness, and only in your guiltlessness can you be happy. There is no conflict here. To wish for guilt in any way, in any form, will lose appreciation of the value of your guiltlessness and push it from your sight. And I'll pause there.
Wow, that was loaded.
Yes, it was, wasn't it? What came up for you? Did something?
Yeah. Wow. I don't know that I have. I guess I have more so, you know, questions and just thinking about my life and. Okay, so this part, the last part, to wish for guilt in any way, in any form, will lose appreciation for the value of your guiltlessness and push it from your sight. And so I've actually been thinking about the whole notion of guilt and how to transcend it,
mm-hmm.
you know, to where you can actually see your guiltlessness. And and I guess I'm just really wondering, you know, how you can do that. Like how inside of a moment, if you feel like you've done something that maybe that warrants you feeling guilty, like have you ever felt guilty for not feeling guilty? So you feel at peace about something that maybe you should feel guilty about, but you don't really? Does that make
sure.
sense?
Yeah.
And so, you know, in my life, there are a number of things that, and right now, for me, it's nothing really major. It's just significantly things that are significantly impacting me. You know, like maybe I'll, you know, make a really, like, deep emotional connection with somebody. And let's just say, you know, not to offend anybody on here for any reason, but it could be, like, a married guy, and it might just be just a genuine connection that I make with him, not anything that goes beyond anything that's, you know, appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And it could, you know, just like in a passing, you know, and I'll find myself thinking like, oh, man, that felt really great. And then when I walk away, something in me go, oh, my gosh, maybe you shouldn't have been so nice. Maybe you shouldn't have gotten so deep spiritually, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or it could be like maybe something that I'm choosing for myself where I'm going kind of the opposite way of where essentially where maybe everyone else or society thinks I might need to go. And then I end up feeling like not really feeling guilty, but feeling more about there's the guilt of not doing things the way everybody else is, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what stood out about that for me is if for whatever reason, good or bad, if I sit inside of the guilt, I'm not going to be able to see the light. I'm not going to be able to see my guiltlessness, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Totally get you. And I think in light of what you shared, thank you so much for sharing. what comes up for me, the more I work with spirit in my own life and, you know, take everything to spirit as I'm going along, spirit continually shows me that it's me that's making judgment on anything and everything. There is no judgment. There is only love. That's the only thing that's true. And so if I'm thinking about something or contemplating something and putting it in a category of good behavior or bad behavior or what I think I should be doing, none of that applies. Like, somewhere underneath all of that is the truth. And so, like, even rules that we think exist in society about, like, the example you gave, for example, like talking to a married man and if it went too far and all of that, even if it did go too far, like, what's too far? Who defines that? Is it God, or is it that other voice, you know? So everything, the Course says that guilt is always insane. There are no exceptions to that rule because we are sinless. The notion that we can sin is not true. We're perfectly innocent all of the time, not some of the time, all of the time. So that's what came up for me.
I love how the first paragraph you read was talking about not feeling guilty about learning. So, you know, about the whole process, because that's such an easy thing for me, at least, to forget, you know, if I feel like I slipped or had a week that was off or whatever, to feel guilty that, oh, I could have been more peaceful, or I could have not judged so-and-so and all that stuff. So this paragraph for me was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, totally. That's one of, like, for me, that's one of my biggest tab hooks, is, like, my ego. Well, then you should have, you know, been a better spiritual example, or you should have, you know, been, you know, and that's, like, the more I practice these ideas, it's, like, the more gentle I can be with myself, the easier everything is. And it's like I have a mantra now wherever I catch myself in that sort of thought pattern of feeling like I should have done better, it's like, no, it's about progress, not perfection. Because my mind has a really, like, I get stuck in being perfect. Or what my idea of perfect is. And it's something that I use against myself.
Wow.
So it's, yeah, that's awesome, Paul. It's really true.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, too. I love that.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll move forward to the next. So there is no compromise that you can make with guilt and escape the pain which only guiltlessness allows. Learning is living here as creating is being in heaven. Whenever the path of guilt seeks to attract you, remember that if you yield to it, you are deciding against your happiness and will not learn how to be happy. Say therefore to yourself gently, but with the correction born of the love of God and of His Son, what I experience, I will make manifest. If I am guiltless, I have nothing to fear. I choose to testify to my acceptance of the atonement, not for its rejection. I would accept my guiltlessness by making it manifest and sharing it. Let me bring peace to God's Son from his father. Each day, each hour and minute, even every second, you are deciding between the crucifixion and the resurrection, between the ego and the Holy Spirit. The ego is the choice for guilt, the Holy Spirit, the decision for guiltlessness. The power of decision is all that is yours. What you can decide between is fixed because there are no alterations except truth and illusion, and there is no overlap between them because they are opposites which cannot be reconciled and cannot both be true. You are guilty or guiltless, bound or free, happy or unhappy. The miracle teaches you that you have chosen guiltlessness, freedom, and joy. It is not a cause, but an effect. It is a natural result of choosing right, attesting to your happiness that comes from choosing to be free of guilt. Everyone you offer healing to returns it. Everyone you attack keeps it and cherishes it by holding it against you. Whether he does this or does it not will make no difference. You will think he does. You will think he does. Sorry, I lost that there. You will think he does. It is impossible to offer what you do not want without this penalty. The cost of giving is receiving. Either it is a penalty from which you suffer, or the happy purchase of a treasure to hold dear. Wow, what a paragraph that was. Holy moly. Okay. So once again, the Course is making it really clear, moment to moment, we're either choosing for our complete and total innocence, or we're choosing the created self, the false self that is invested in everything that isn't true. There is one or the other, and the Course tells us over and over again that there is only guiltlessness. So if we're investing in any of the other stuff, we know that we're investing in what isn't true. And thank God for that. Thank God the Course makes it so clear that there is only guiltlessness. I love this here too. The miracle teaches that you have chosen guiltlessness. Freedom and joy is not a cause, but an effect. It is the natural result of choosing right, attesting to your happiness that comes from choosing to be free of guilt. So the shift in perception that the Course constantly talks about is really just like a light in the darkness that's showing us we are guiltless. That's why we need our shifts in perception, to remind ourselves constantly, moment by moment, that we are love, we are truth, we are spirit, we are, in fact, guiltless. I love that. Mm-hmm. Does anybody else have anything they want to share about this paragraph?
I have a question, actually.
Sure.
So the part where it's in quotations, the first line, I was like kind of wanting, I want to get what you guys think about it. It's what I experience, I will make manifest. It's like almost sounded like what I, almost like I'm the effect, but in other places it's talking about us deciding what we will experience. Oh, maybe that is the answer to it. Anyway, what is your take on it?
Well, just from, like, I'm going to use my life as an example just because it's easier for the moment, but, like, if I'm investing in the fear voice, and that's the only voice I can hear at the moment, then I'm getting the effects of that choice. I'm manifesting the effects of fear, and that's all I can manifest because I can't allow anything else in.
Mm.
And that's kind of what that speaks to for me. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. So, like, when I'm in the grips of, like, really investing in what in illusion, I'm manifesting more illusion because that's where I am at the moment.
Like you're in that state and then you end up projecting it onto everything and creating more of it. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, well, I can definitely relate to that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for sharing.
That's, I want to piggyback off of that. That actually jumped out to me, too, when few things come to mind. One time I was just kind of feeling maybe sorry for myself. I was just like feeling it really deeply, and inside that moment I was feeling powerless, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, I'm conscious of my thoughts at this point, but, you know, nonetheless, they're still there. I'm not always able to just shift them completely. And then, you know, and I was driving down the road, and then I get to the gas station. And right when I get to the gas station, you know, this man pops up at my window. Hey, you know what I mean? Scare the crap out of me, right? And he's like, hey, you know, are you paying cash or car? Because if you're paying with cash, I can give you this gift certificate, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, it's okay. So then I go in and I come back, and then another guy comes who's from the same truck and like, hey, can I help you, you know, let me pump your gas for you. And I'm like, no, it's okay. And I go around to the trunk. So he starts pumping my gas, right?
Yeah.
And anyway, I go, no, that's fine. My heart is just beating. And it's well lit. It is nighttime, but there are people. So I'm not 100% afraid, but I still feel that powerlessness. And you know what I thought? Wow. I was instantly reminded of how I was feeling powerless just 20 minutes beforehand, just going over in my mind, just I feel powerless, right, and just afraid. And I don't know that I can say that I don't believe at this point that it's a coincidence that 20 minutes later I attract a situation that mirrors where I feel the emotion that I was just feeling. Like,
it's
just
not.
Like, and I was just like, oh my gosh, right?
Yeah.
So then now here recently, so about a week ago, I was just like, oh, gosh, you know, going through the motions. God, you know, I feel like I'm not living a purposeful life. I just would rather be gone from this earth. And I wasn't necessarily feeling miserable. I was just feeling purposeless, like just what am I here for type of a thing. And I was just like, oh, God, give me purpose or just bring me home, right? And do you know, like 3 days later, I got into a car accident. And I mean, obviously I'm here, I'm live, so, you know, I made it out. But I just thought, wow, you know, could it be that, and there were a number of other things that I was attracting and inside of that moment of just despair, feeling again powerless, you know. So now I get into this car accident, you know, and just a number of things kind of spiral out of control as a result of it. And the very feeling that I was kind of soaking in, I'm really inclined to believe that I see now how we can attract experiences and incidences in our lives, not even really realizing it, you know?
I think you made such a huge point there. Thank you so much for sharing your story. That we're not even consciously aware of what we're doing a lot of times, because, you know, no one would consciously choose to suffer or choose pain. Like, that just wouldn't happen. But when you're sort of asleep, you're not really aware that you're making that choice. And I love what it says here at the end of that paragraph. It says, I will accept my guiltlessness by making it manifest and sharing it. So when we're invested in illusion, we're also sharing that, because the Course says giving and receiving are the same, right? So if we're finding that we are like receiving, I don't know, like attack in some way, that means without exception that there is some area in our life that we're attacking either ourselves or others without being aware of it. So it's always a call to go within. So when we share our guiltlessness, we get that back, because guiltlessness, or I mean giving and receiving, are the same. If we're sharing attack, we're going to get that back too. And so I thought it was really key that you observed within yourself, just as you were talking, that you manifested the very feeling of that you had just talked about earlier. And you notice that. So that's like really, that's huge, just being able to observe that. And just because as you wake up, you, like, I've noticed within myself, the moment anything happens, I go within and I'm like, okay, so what am I to learn from this? What am I doing that? And it always comes back to either being more loving toward myself, or just being willing to be gentle. You know, even the moments where we feel like we've fallen off track, you know, you can spend an enormous amount of time beating yourself up over, oh, I should have done this or that, or, you know, I should have done better. But it's really, you know, that willingness to have mercy on yourself and be gentle, which allows the love and the light to come in and doesn't create more, you know, punishment of, and it's like what it talks about a few paragraphs earlier, everything is a moment-to-moment choice. We're either choosing for the crucifixion or for the resurrection. And that was like a really powerful way to look at it, because it's so true. We're either crucifying ourselves or we're resurrecting the love that we are.
Wow.
So thanks.
And in that is also kind of the answer to our purpose.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you think about it, that's our purpose, no matter what we are quote-unquote doing in the world. I mean, it's to make that decision and bring peace to wherever we're at.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks, Paul, for bringing that up. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Deidre?
Yes?
This is Angela. Hi.
Hi, Angela.
Hi, and hi to everyone. I need help. Hi. I need help with something, because I choose in certain situations where, you know, I, like, for instance, I have a family gathering coming up, and I don't do well with these situations, and I'm the one having the gathering. And somehow it just keeps getting bigger, and my heart's like, okay, well, I don't know about my heart. Let's put it that way. Anyway, I'm identifying with Angela, and seems like when this comes up, I'm fearful of other people in terms of I fail to see that they are coming from spirit, and what I see out there is that they seem very much in the world, and I don't know how to deal with this. And so the basically what it comes down to is I need to ask the Holy Spirit, please help me with this. Please help me to make the right decision as to, like an example would be invite a childhood friend for someone who's very close to me. And this is very, you know, invite that person to this thing. So I'm doing the best with the situation, and I know it might not be very clear, but basically it's like, okay, so if I choose for inviting more people, I'm already a little bit uptight, and I don't want to act like a buffoon. That's basically what it comes down to. And yet I'm trying. I want to do this, but I've never done this by, you know, had so many people by myself. And the place that I'm having it is not, it's not, I live, but it's not my home. And so it's a very delicate situation. I'm responsible. So like I said, you know, what happens is I forget all about spirit and all that we're learning in these situations. And I really need to start to try to do it differently because this is my learning. So I need help.
Yeah, I think you brought up some really great points. And it's great that you brought up this situation when we're discussing the happy learner, because I'm not sure when you hopped on the call, but it talks about in the text earlier that the learner never feels guilty for where they are in the process of their learning. So you're exactly where you need to be and doing everything exactly the way that it needs to come about. Like, there's nothing wrong with the situation, and it's never, ever, ever too late to ask for Spirit's help with anything. Like, you know, we can be in the 11th hour and thinking, you know, oh, I should have called on Spirit, and oh, now it's too late, you know, it can never be. But it's never too late. Just invite Spirit in to help you with the plans for this, and ask for a miracle. And, you know, it may be that certain people that thought they were going to come don't come, or everyone comes and they have a wonderful time. Like, miracles just, you know, just seem to make everything run smoothly. So it's never too late to invite Spirit into any situation. And I'm feeling called just to mention too that it's okay to be authentic with people about how you feel. You're not being I think the word that you used, it was buffoon, but it's right. Very, it's very, very okay to, you know, let people know, just being authentic in the moment, that, you know, you're feeling a little overwhelmed, or whatever the feeling is, that's perfectly okay for you to say. Like, you don't have to, you know, just act a certain way and put up a certain type of image while people are around you. Like, it's okay to be authentic about how you're feeling in the moment. And especially if you're asking Spirit's help to, like, express that to people in a loving way, miracles happen. I was in a situation with a family member the other day, and we were working on a project together, and I found my mind sort of creeping toward maybe the possibility of making a judgment of the person, and I stopped myself in mid-thought, and I gave it to Spirit, and I did not say a word out loud. It was all happening in my mind. And then I just let it pass, and about 10 or 15 minutes later, the person I was talking to on the phone stopped me in mid-conversation as we were working on this project and said, "I'm sorry." And I said, "Why are you sorry?" And they said, "I just observed that I'm bringing incredible negative energy to what we're working on right now, and I would like to shift that energy.
Wow.
Now, I didn't say to the person, I'm feeling extremely judged right now, and I wish that you would stop doing that. I noticed my thoughts kind of going downhill and toward making a judgment to the person, and I took those to spirit, and I waited, you know, and then the person themselves made the shift with the help of spirit. So,
wow.
Yeah. So, it
so
was quite
it
awesome.
Works.
Yes, it works.
I needed that reminder too.
It was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that, and I will do that. I will miss you guys next Sunday, and that's when the event is going on. So I can just ask for prayers ahead of time, and in the meantime, I will definitely invite spirit. And you know, my feeling is, oh my God, I'm not going to get an answer. I know that's crazy thinking, but I just, you know, the ego always speaks first, you know, and that as long as I don't even know what to say, I would just say the ego always speaks first.
I've been in that situation too, Angela, where my fear voice just seems so loud that nothing can block it out. And I've been in that situation where all I can seem to focus on is the fear and what I don't want to happen. And somehow just my tiny bit of willingness to take that to spirit and look at it has made things totally shift. And everything that I was fearing at the time didn't occur because I was willing to at least say to God and the angels and spirit, like, I'm just feeling a lot of fear right now. And I'm willing to look at this with you. And I'm not trying to change it. I'm simply allowing it to be. And just that in itself, like, I didn't have to know how to fix it. I didn't know how to have to, like, change it. I just had to let it be. And by letting it be and saying, like, I'm just going to be really honest with you, I'm scared right now. Like, I'm scared. And just that willingness is enough. Like, you don't have to know how to fix it.
Great. Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You very much.
You're
I
welcome.
Really appreciate your input.
You're welcome.
Okay. Can I say something to that also?
Sure.
Something, Angela, was that Angela?
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
so glad you brought that up. And something that you said, Deirdre, that I think is when you said, you know, she could be honest and just kind of be who she is and express how she feels.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to add to that, you know, I was reading a book by Eckhart Tolle, The Power
yeah.
of Now.
Yeah, it's a beautiful book.
Yeah, and Angela, something that he says that I am finding really helpful is about, you know, he talked about being the silent watcher or the silent observer of your feelings and being in tune with literally what's happening inside your body. So, like, let's say if you're in that moment and you're feeling all those emotions, just be with it, be inside of it, be really, really present. And he said what tends to happen is the people that you encounter, they will essentially, he didn't use this term, but my interpretation of it is their energy will yield to yours. They will match yours. So, you know, you've mentioned about, you know, I don't want to look like a buffoon, which the way I interpret that is you don't necessarily want to be trying to act all, like, really extra and it doesn't really feel like you. But I think you could be totally, like, let's say, I don't know if you're, like, a person who normally puts on, like, a chipper type of attitude to try to greet people, but I know that's something that a lot of people, when you go to parties, they tend to do because they think that's what is expected of them and that's what's going to make people feel loved or welcomed or whatever it is you're trying to get them to feel. But I think it's definitely possible to be able to inside of your fear or sadness or whatever emotion it is, to still be present with people and make, you know, like invite them in such a way where even if you didn't get to the point where you were comfortable saying, hey, I'm afraid, but just kind of in your spirit letting them know, like, I'm here, just being really authentic in how you act and how you present your energy. And I don't know, in my experiences, you know, just kind of that has been helping me a lot, just letting my spirit say, or whatever energy I'm putting off, really essentially be living my truth inside that moment. And at first it was scary because I would think, oh gosh, you know, this person's not going to feel love, they're not going to feel welcome, they're not going to feel any of these things that I want them to feel. But actually, they actually do, because it's that authenticity that people gravitate to that makes people, you know how you be in the presence of someone who's authentic, or even when you or yourself is feeling really authentic, you'll find that more people are drawn to you. So yeah, that's all. I just wanted to kind of piggyback off that, because I can certainly relate, and I just thought what Deirdre said was just so important. And again, that's something that I've been practicing as well, and it's been working wonders.
Yeah, I think what you said is so huge, because I don't know about anybody else on the call, but I've been in situations where I haven't been authentic, and I've tried to put a happy face on something when I really felt really like crap, and I was really, you know, not happy. And I have been in those situations where I've tried to paint a happy face on, you know, being unhappy, and people can pick up on that energy. Like, you can be as great an actor or actress as humanly possible, you know, Oscar worthy, but people know the truth. Your body is like a crystal, and if you're not being authentic, people will know. So I have found I am happiest when I am completely authentic, and a lot of times that has meant for me that there are going to be times when people don't approve of how I express myself or how I act in a given situation, and that's okay. I'm not looking for people to approve of me. I'm looking to be as authentic and loving as I possibly can in every situation. So yeah, I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, wow.
Thank you. I have one thing that comes up for me, you know, that idea of seeing it in someone else, but they seem not authentic, and they seem like they're better than, and that's my projection, and that's where I get scared to say, okay, no, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world, and so I find, I just say there's a little bit of clashing. I notice that. And that is part of what goes on, and just trying to have conversation with people, just, you know what I mean? Just because I don't talk about what goes on in the world, it's just a whole different situation. So I guess, you know, it's almost like I think best if I can find a way to just communicate with Holy Spirit, and hopefully from what I hear on the call, and just remembering by having that dialogue, that constant dialogue, then what I see on the outside will follow, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think, you know, just in a situation like that too, just having prayers to be able to call on in your mind is really helpful. Like, if you feel things triggering you or coming up, anything like that, just having prayers like, Holy Spirit, look upon this, judging it for me, and just being able to rely on those is also really helpful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I think rather than, we have 5 minutes left, I don't want to start another section, so maybe is there anything, any like a real life example someone wants to share before we end the call tonight? Because we have 5 minutes left, or
there's so many, I'm sure. I'll just say that it's interesting, like the things that people share, and every sharing tonight has, there's been something that exactly mirrors something I was experiencing during the week. So,
yeah, well, we're all
connected.
I
do appreciate everyone. It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true.
I've had a, has anyone ever had an experience where it really feels like things are coming together and like, you know, things are happening, things are moving in the direction that you have been praying for, and then all of a sudden, bam, there's fear. There's like, oh my God, I might get what I want, and like, oh my God, I'm scared.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had that this week, and it was really bizarre, and I really just had to, like, take all of my fear and doubt to Holy Spirit, and I just really realized, like, on a really grand level, because we've created these false identities, we are afraid of the love that we are afraid of the magnitude. And I was really confronted with that this week. It came up really strong. And I just, initially, I'll be honest, I tried to push the uncertainty away, and it just made it bigger. So then I was like, okay, Spirit, I will sit in the fear with you. I will be afraid. I will be uncertain. And no lie, that was when everything shifted, and I feel completely peaceful now.
Wow.
I have no idea, like, of the outcome or anything. Like, I have an idea. Like, I have a way I think it's going to go. I have a strong feeling, but I feel so much more calm now. But it was just really interesting that I was afraid of getting something that I've been dreaming about for a long time. And yeah, so yeah, I just wanted to share that. Cause...
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that the moments that I'm not thinking with Spirit and I'm just going about my day and then sometimes something will just pop into my head to say, where am I? Am I identifying with ego, body, or am I identifying with Spirit? And now I'm learning not to judge myself for the times that I don't, that I'm not identifying with Spirit and that I'm identifying with who I think I am. I think that's helping so that maybe the remembering comes faster.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I think that's all it is, if we just remember that it's only a temporary state when we notice that we're misaligned. Because the fear voice will take that opportunity and try to help us slip further down the staircase of fear and guilt.
Yeah.
But if we just recognize that, oops, it's only a temporary shift in perception and I can shift right back again. That's why that lesson 107 was so helpful to me this week. Truth will correct all errors in my mind. That was the lesson that really helped me shift out of that fear of, you know, what I was fearing. And it's true. Truth is always true. And pain and suffering can't be happening when you're aligned with the truth.
Mm.
So.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Can I mention one thing that seemed to also be helpful? I've been reading The End of Death, and all I would say is one of the things is that being in the fear and being in the darkness, what happens is it there is absolutely no opportunity for the light to come in, and I'm not even wording it as well as it's been worded, but what I realize is it's like feeling what you've been saying is feeling afraid of who we really are in truth. And so as long as I stay with the fear, there's no opportunity to see it. The light can't come in. So I don't know. If you have a better way to say it, please do.
I think what you said is beautiful and perfect. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
It's amazing how time flies. We're at the top of the hour, you guys. Actually a little over. So thank you all for being part of the call this week. And I'm sure Corinne will be back next week and be able to share lots of great stories with us from the New York conference. So I wish you all a blessed and miraculous week, and I look forward to talking to you all next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Have a good week.
You too.
You too.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.